This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Gone! A three-run home run for Bellinger!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Our job is not to babysit somebody.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Just get him out. Doc deserves better. So does MB.
Today's guests. Co-host of Peacock's Brother from Another, Michael Smith. Purdue wide receiver, David Bell. Senior NBA insider for The Athletic, Shyam Charania. Creator and star of HBO's Curb Your Enthusiasm, Larry David. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Okay. We got ourselves a three-hour show, don't we?
What an open.
We're pleased to be here in Los Angeles, California for you. Next 3 hours, I wouldn't move. And hour number three, Larry David's going to be walking in through that door. The creator and star and writer and essence of Curb Your Enthusiasm, season 11. And it is as good as ever. It returns on Sunday night. And Larry returns to our studio. And wait till you hear what he wants to do to the sport of football and with the sport of football. That's coming up in hour number three, top of our third hour, all third hour, Larry David. Don't you dare move. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman. How are you?
You know, Rich, I've been better.
It's all right. It's okay.
But we're still alive. We're still playing games. So, you know, we'll just get back after it this afternoon.
And then, so you're playing for the Red Sox now?
Yeah, I'm pitching tonight, actually. Yeah.
They might need you to relieve. Yeah. You never know. They might need your arm. Yeah. Del Tufo's in his spot, and TJ Jefferson, good to see you here on this good Wednesday on the Rich Eisen Show.
How are you
today? I'm doing better, man, for being here. We just love in-studio guests, certainly when they're Larry David. And Michael Smith of Brother from Another is going to be first up. And then last on this show, we will take you to Brother from Another on NBC Sports on Peacock. We follow the Dan Patrick Show every day. Take you up until Michael Smith and Michael Holly on Brother from Another. Shyam Charania from The Athletic is going to be joining us in the middle of our program after we give the Gorilla Glue toughest player on planet Earth player NIL deal for this week to David Bell of the Purdue Boilermakers, who are now in the top 25 after handing Iowa its first loss of the season. David Bell with 240 yards receiving. He is the
one game?
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Oh. A Kinnick Stadium record, 240 yards receiving. And we love his story as well. We love stories and we love guys showing up. We love glue guys like David Bell, and he'll be joining us in this program that once again features Larry David. And one of the things to talk about with Shams, you win some, you lose some. Los Angeles won one and then lost one last night. Let's start with the loss, because it's the Los Angeles Lakers. And it's LeBron and Anthony Davis and Russell Westbrook. And Russ went 4-13. He went 4-13. He went 2-1-1 in the first in the first half.
Yeah.
And Anthony Davis and LeBron combined for 67 points and 22 rebounds, and normally that comes up with a dub.
Yeah, that's really good.
And certainly when Steph Curry is going to be shooting 5 of 21 in your house.
That killed me.
But Curry came up still with the triple-double, his first since 2016. And my Wolverine, Jordan Poole, who University of Houston fans know very well, one of the more famous buzzer beaters in the last decade of March Madness.
Oh, yeah.
He's the one who jarred that one a few years ago. And Jordan Poole with 20 points as Golden State minus Klay Thompson comes up with the dub. And the Dubs with the dub in the house where everybody's expecting the Lakers to win a championship. Jack's back. Jack Nicholson was
Jack
back.
Great to back. See Jack. Bro, it was so great to
great
see
to
Jack.
Great to see Jack. We just need people to jack it up and make it in a rim for the Lakers, certainly from the perimeter, if that's the way LeBron wants to play and shoot.
And I know the narrative today from L.A. here is just going to be, hey, pump the brakes, one game, let's give these guys time to mesh.
Well, should be the narrative.
Well, I mean, there's 81 games to go.
Yeah, of course, of course. Well, let me tell you what, if you think you're going to get anything different than this the rest of the season, you're trying to see the world through rose-colored glasses.
Don't know.
It's not going to happen. This is who Russell Westbrook is. And this is who he's going to be with these teammates.
I don't know. I was watching him run the floor last night and set up and trying to figure out where he's going to be in this offense and in this team. And the interesting thing is he's going to have to, and we talked about it yesterday on the show with Sam Amick of The Athletic, he's going to have to reconfigure his mindset. I mean, the whole concept of, all right, I'm going to go out, I'm going to give you 25 and 20 and 20. Like, I'm going to do the 20-20-20. The offense is just not going to run through him. It's
right.
just
He's
never going to run
the
through
ball,
him. He's
it?
Never
yeah,
going
exactly.
to run. It's never going to run through him right. here unless LeBron's hurt and Anthony Davis is out and they got to turn to him. Like, that's when right. he's going to be potentially most valuable, is if these guys get hurt and then they do have to run the offense through him and he can save the day and keep the ship afloat. Unless he can figure out how to be the third man on the totem pole.
I don't know how to flip that switch mentally.
We're going to have to see it. That's on Frank Vogel.
And
that's on LeBron, and that's on Frank Vogel, and that's on Anthony Davis, and that's on everybody to figure this thing out. Because last night, they did lead at the half, despite Westbrook having pretty much a non-show in the first half on the stat sheet. And then they made their usual run to make it a two-point game in the fourth quarter, but the Warriors looked far more cohesive. Oh, my gosh, the number of times that they were just letting four or five guys touch the ball. It was a beautiful thing to watch, certainly in game one of a regular season.
Warriors,
but you do have to pump the brakes, though, man.
I'm not. I'm going to keep this energy all season long. It's gonna fail, and it's going to fail miserably.
Meanwhile, the Nets in the – you're laughing over there.
Yeah.
Because it's a long season. At some point, this is going to click.
LeBron
I think it
James,
will click.
It's like if you're a betting man, and if you were going to
And
bet,
I told you I'm betting against the Lakers every game this year, and I will come out ahead.
Well, really?
Because I'm one for one.
Are we counting sneaky good games and within the bet?
Sure.
Okay.
We'll add
like one
against
for 15,
the Lakers then. To every sneaky good games the rest of the year.
Here we go.
Your percentage is going to be very low then.
Do you want to bet me?
Here's
what are you saying? That they're not going to have a winning record? That they're not going to make the playoffs? Like what is
well,
your end game
thing,
here
is
to saying
it,
that
it,
this
it,
isn't
it is a
work?
Deep end of the Western Conference pool,
it's
as we
deep.
All know.
It's deep.
And okay, I want to know, is like when you say that, are you saying the Lakers aren't making the playoffs? Or are they not?
They're not
going to
win the championship.
Well, that's...
Well, how about this? Well, you could
what
say
do you mean?
That...
They're the favorite.
You could say that about 29 other teams.
Right.
So... That is.
Sorry, Rich. I don't want to hijack the open.
No, it's I.
And I hate the Lakers, by the way. But it's just like my hatred of them lets me know that whenever I think they're not going to do good, they're probably going to end up winning something just to aggravate me. So,
29 teams won't win it. The Lakers looked pretty out of sync in night number one. Mm-hmm. Certainly, since this is a team that we all know is. Prideful on the defensive end. That's what Vogel wants to preach. And these teams have been, you know, they've been very stout on the defensive end with Vogel as the coach. Gave up a $121. And Steph was not. And Steph did not shoot.
Great last night. Your defending champion Milwaukee Bucks.
They did.
Yes, they.
Everyone is sleeping on them, and they are going to be awesome this year.
Well, and I'm already taking a page out of. The world of my old self. And I'm going to say I need to see it to believe it one more time.
From the Bucks?
Mm-hmm. I need to see it to believe it one more time for an entire year. And the Nets are shorthanded. And my prediction about the Nets, we're going to do this later on in this program. We're going to predict... For the NBA season, the NBA Finals, mm-hmm. Who wins it? Who makes it? Who wins it? Coach of the Year, Rookie of the Year, and Most Valuable Player of the NBA season. We'll see who chooses Giannis, and we'll see who chooses the Bucks.
So Chris Rich is kind of betting against Giannis again?
No, I'm not betting against him. I need to see it again. I need to see it one more time again. I need to see that they can weather an entire season storm. And then whether I believe a stronger Eastern Conference, because somebody's going to take the jab and come back.
You think?
Yes, I do. I'll give more on that 2 cents later on in this program. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial if you have any thoughts on the subject matter as well. Baker Mayfield's out for Thursday Night Football.
Ooh,
we'll talk a little bit more about that on this program. That he's... not going to answer the bell and what that means and what that sets up for the Browns in a very crucial game for both teams on Thursday night, tomorrow night, between the Browns at 3-3, once upon a time, a favorite to win the division and the Super Bowl out of the AFC, now entering week 7, banged up and 500. And once upon a time, a 3-0 Broncos team that is, you know, banged up itself, needing to come into Cleveland and win a short week road football game to avoid a 4-game losing streak. So that's news off the top in the football world. And then let's talk a little bit of baseball, everybody. 2 home runs, 2 eighth inning home runs last night. Stave off a dreadful hole for the teams that got the eighth inning home runs in their favor. Let's start here in Los Angeles. Cody Bellinger, who came up with the base hit in Game 5 against the San Francisco Giants after a brutal season, he goes yard. A 3-run jack of a high fastball out of the zone. He tomahawked. I'm sorry to use the phrase, but that's what he did. Yeah. He tomahawked, chopped it right against the Braves into the right field bleacher slash pavilion, and the place went nuts. And, you know, Luke Jackson gave it up, and then Chris Taylor gets on base. And you just knew when Mookie Betts stepped to the plate that that was not going to go your way in like the Atlanta Braves world. Yeah, it just, you know, the momentum was all Dodger blue after it was all Braves. Adam Duvall with a big game. Charlie Morton with 5 solid. Jock Peterson and his pearls.
Young Jock.
Still hitting the baseball, you know. And
what was that with that necklace?
It's something he's been doing all postseason. It's hilarious.
And, you know, as you know, Jocktober is a member of the tribe. It could be his bubbies.
That's a good point.
Very well could be.
Chris, I know this, like, upsets you to bring up Mookie Betts, but I was thinking, man, if Boston still had Mookie Betts.
Oh, God.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, it would be like, don't even go down that road.
Yes, yes and no.
It would be, look.
I'm kind of over it. But, yeah.
But the Red Sox are in a best of 3.
Yeah, we're in a great spot.
To make the World Series, which everybody in Boston would have signed for when pitchers and catchers reported.
Of course, yeah.
And on opening day, Memorial Day, All-Star break,
step of the way.
Labor Day,
a month ago,
name a day.
But it was brutal.
The Red Sox would have signed for best of 3 against the Astros to make the World Series. That's the way you've got to look at it after Jose Altuve hit an 8th inning home run down 2-1. After Bregman hit a home run to start the scoring, and then Bogarts hit a 2-run shot to make it 2-1, and that's the way it stayed until the 8th inning last night.
Shocking.
Nick Pivetta with some nice work starting, and then Greinke, he was an opener last night for the Astros.
Yeah, it was clear he didn't have it.
And
we just got to get competent home plate umpires.
No, and so
it's just like, I mean, come on.
So this game was tied entering the 9th. And Nate Eovaldi is brought into the game. Once again, a guy who's going to be starting later on, and now let's bring him in the 9th inning and silo the games. Let's silo them. Let's just make this is all we need. We need to just get out of this inning. We need to get out of this at bat because the numbers say this and the numbers say that. And he's our best guy for the moment, and it's his throw day anyway. I mean, you heard that about Jose Urias, and you heard that about, you know, hey, let's use Scherzer here to close it out, and we'll deal with it. And then he's got a dead arm, and now, you know, Eovaldi's going to have to throw in this best of 3, not on the full complement of total rest, although that's his throw day, and now he's thrown in a game. And so let's just silo everything and make sure that we're getting out of an at-bat, getting out of an inning, getting out of a game, getting the out we need. And the one thing that you don't ever take into account is human error. And the human error, frequently, as we know, is pitcher doesn't spin the ball in the zone with a nice sharp enough break, or hitter just throws his bat at the ball and suddenly a flare, bloop and a blast, and suddenly you're out. And then there's, you know, somewhat of a human error in terms of home plate umpiring incompetence. Why does baseball put people behind home plate whose season-long body of work does not merit it. Facts. And facts. It also crystallizes the concerns of all baseball fans when you see the name of the umpire earning the assignment and we're like, well, that game's going to have to be hold on for your dear life. And then the actual umpiring confirms our concerns. Why does baseball want to walk into that trap, into that public relations problem with their fan base? I don't, for the life of me, get it. And last night, Laz Diaz missed 23 strike calls. 23 pitches he missed last night.
And granted, it was both sides.
We're putting up the graphic right here. We're putting up the graphic right here of Jeff Passan, who I follow, one of the best baseball writers and chroniclers out there. You're seeing a bunch of red dots called strikes way outside of the zone. And then you're seeing a small smattering of green dots, which is balls called balls, that are on the edges of strike zones. And the one in particular I'll describe to the radio audience is a green dot that has about 20 to 25% of the dot inside the strikes on the lower left-hand of part of the dot, left quadrant of the dot, lower left quadrant of that dot. On the top right edge of the strike zone was the 1-2 curveball that Eovaldi threw to Castro last night. Ugh. That Diaz called a ball instead of strike three. And that opened the floodgates. Yep. Base hit. And then an RBI. And then six more.
See ya.
Out. Red Sox fans have every right to be pissed off. And baseball fans, too. It's not acceptable. And now we're going to be hearing today, like, we should have robots as umpires and strike zones. And let's use the electrical strike zone, the electric eye or whatever. Like, that's not going to have errors either. But what it would have is probably fewer than 23 missed pitches.
That is insane.
Honestly, think about it. 5 times, 10 times is, okay, you're a human being. You missed it. Some of those sometimes, too, as you know, catcher sets out up here to the left, and the ball is an actual strike on the right. But the catcher had to move the glove, and it kind of fools the umpire because he's a human being. But 23 of them? Come on. Especially since these games are taking forever.
Forever.
And by the way, the four and forever is spelled F-O-U-R because that's how many hours it's taking. And you're going to invest all this time as a fan and then see that and you're going to be like, oh, well, I guess a human being. No, you're going to be like, what's he doing back there? Certainly if you do the research and see that it's a problem. I don't know what the answer is other than the fact is I'm not going to be for robots umpiring.
No, me neither.
Ever,
Mitch, but
ever.
And to your point, last night was a great day for baseball. And an unbelievable comeback by the Dodgers. Same for the Astros to keep their series alive. Like, if both those teams lose those games, for all intents and purposes, their series are over. And they kept it alive, and now we're going to get more baseball. But all we're talking about today is umpiring. It sucks.
I know in the NFL, and I think the NBA as well, is that they compile their stats just like everybody else. And if your stats, if you miss too many pitches, you're out. You're not going to be in the LCS. You're not going to be in the World Series. I don't know what he was doing back there. Just look at this guy's stats for this year. But to use a phrase of a friend of our third hour guest, that's a shame.
Yeah, I mean, I don't expect anyone to feel bad. The Sox blew so many chances. They left eight runners on base, 0-for-8 runners in scoring position, and innings two through. Like, they didn't deserve to win last night.
Lots to talk about.
That's ashamed me.
Yes, I did. I did.
I respect that.
Thank you. LD likes it.
I respect that.
Let's take a break because let's just understand what's coming for the Cleveland Browns and their fans. And it's the setup. The setup is happening. I'm already seeing our competition setting people up right now. about the setup that's coming.
It's the setup that's coming.
If the setup is coming, Baker's out. Let's see Case Keenum. What can he do? And if Case Keenum wins this game, I'll tell you what. That's coming up. I want to save my powder because I don't want to be any later for Michael Smith. Brother from another's Michael Smith. Let's see if he's as down in the Lakers as you are, Christopher. Hey, folks, it's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep because if I don't have one, I'm just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Busy day today. Again, all 3 hours of this show taking you to Brother from Another. I will be on that show as soon as I'm done here.
Oh, nice.
True home and home today on this program. So Larry David in studio, hour number three. Then I will be on Brother from Another on NBC Sports on Peacock. With Michael Holly and our next guest, Michael Smith, back here in the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Michael?
Yo, you got Larry David in the studio?
Yeah, he's coming. He's coming.
Yeah, that's dope.
You want to come over, Mike?
Yeah. Tell him I say what's up.
I will do that.
I mean, he doesn't know who the hell I am, but tell him I say what's up.
Hey, man. Look, Larry is a diehard sports fan and a sports viewer, and he's out there. He's got some ideas on what he wants to do for the NFL, and he thinks he can be an offensive and defensive coordinator in the NFL. And I believe him. He's got a sharp
mind. I don't know if he'd be effective. I'd just like to hear him call plays.
I would love it, too. I would absolutely love it, too. Well, he
did. Somebody come to the sideline. Hey, coach, what'd you think?
Yeah, he did come up with years ago when, prior to this show's birth, I had my podcast on NFL Network on the TV side. Brockman was the editor of that show and producing in the studio. At any rate, Larry came on and he came up with the idea of a double flick. So a flea flicker, but instead of the running back flicking it back to the quarterback then flicks it to another person, a double flick, and then that person throws it down the field. So that's the idea of the type of play calling that he would do.
Dude's genius. I don't want him to just be a play caller. I want him to be the commissioner. I want to hear him.
Well, he's got some ideas. Well, this would be great. Again, that's hour three, and then once that's over, I'll be calling into your zooming into your show with Michael Holly. Are you how many alarms is the fire for the Lakers after that first loss for you? What do you got for me?
I mean, two.
Okay.
Maybe.
Okay.
I mean, they're playing a long game. They're long in the tooth, and they're playing a long game. I mean, you know, what do they have, three holdovers from last year?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I didn't expect them to come out. And the Warriors are good. They were good last year. They struggled to score when they needed to. But they're deep, and they're good, and they're going to get better. So I wasn't shocked by last night. I mean, Westbrook, I mean, you know, playing down to expectations, I guess. You know, that was very Russell Westbrook-like in terms on his worst night, and for it to be opening night, it certainly lends to quite a bit of panicking, you know, or confirmation bias. If you already were skeptical about how this team would gel and how these pieces would fit, certainly last night, you know, small sample size, you're looking pretty smart right now. But in the long run, I think they figure it out. And on the bright side, the bottom line is Anthony Davis looked great. LeBron James looked like LeBron James in year 19, looked like he's aging backwards. And so if those two guys are healthy at the end, they're going to be playing deep into the season. And I think they'll figure out rotations and chemistry and fit and all that kind of stuff as the season goes on. They may not be a dominant regular season team, but I think they'll be really good come playoff time.
So, you know, as long as they avoid the play-in game, then, you know, although I'm sure the NBA would once again sign for last night's matchup being the play-in game matchup again, just like last year. But that was all injury-related as well. So
they
how
were
do
off
you
against the Suns last year?
Well, I mean,
we forget.
Yeah, no, I know that the Lakers had to beat the Warriors first, right?
Absolutely right.
Right.
But
so.
I guess I'm just saying, like, it's for all their flaws last year.
Yeah.
For all their difficulties last year, all their struggles last year, they were up against the Suns before Anthony Davis got hurt. So I'm not saying it could be a two man show and they beat anybody with just those two healthy. But if those two are healthy, I mean, you know, it's going to take a lot to beat them, even if they are flawed around them.
Well, then what? How do you see the chemistry working with Russ? I mean, how do you see him working in to this two man game? What do you think?
Well, I don't necessarily know. Chemistry is a broad term. I don't necessarily know the issue with Russ is chemistry. I mean, Russ has led the league in assists several times. He's a willing passer. Russ's flaws are not going to change. He's not going to all of a sudden become a good outside shooter. I think he was 1 of 7 outside the paint. That's about right. Like, they didn't get him for his shooting. They got him to handle the ball when LeBron's on the bench or take some of the playmaking responsibility off of LeBron. If they're sharing the floor. I don't think they should share the floor that much. But Russ is not all of a sudden become a great shooter. The issue with this team, more than anything, is probably going to be defense. And we saw it last night. But the Warriors, they do that to people, man. I mean, I don't know if this is so much of an indictment of the Lakers and their shortcomings last night as much as it was a reminder of how well the Warriors play basketball. Mm-hmm. I mean, they move the ball with the best of them. I mean, Steph Curry called the triple-double trash.
Yes, he did.
They're a damn good team, and the Lakers are going to lose to a lot of teams this year, but when they get into playoff mode, and if LeBron and Anthony Davis are healthy and Russ is more efficient than he was last night and can minimize the turnovers and Carmelo Anthony gives you a spark off the bench and so on and so forth, if they can defend, that's going to be the big thing is can they defend? If they can defend, I still like them come playoff time. I have the Nets, you know, sorry. I have the Nets beating the Lakers in the finals, and that doesn't change for me after one night, even though both of those teams emerged from last night with a lot of questions.
Michael Smith, the brother from another, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. We're going to give our NBA Finals predictions and MVPs and so forth later on the show. I am now making you Daryl Morey. Congratulations. You're now Daryl Morey. Yeah, just for the moment.
Who have I beaten up consistently? Every time I've come on and talked with y'all about this.
I know.
Number one object of my ire.
So then it's a self-flagellating conversation we're about to have here. So what do you do if you're Daryl now? How do you handle this now?
Okay, if I'm Daryl Morey.
Right now.
How do I handle this?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm Daryl Morey. I'm not Michael Smith, because Michael Smith told Daryl Morey
to
trade Ben Simmons a long time ago.
Yes, I know.
But if I'm Daryl Morey,
yeah,
I'm not reversing course because that's not what I do. If I'm Daryl Morey, Ben Simmons is nothing but an asset. These players are nothing but expendable assets with the exception of Joel Embiid. I'm always looking to upgrade. And so since I am not looking at this from a human perspective, I'm simply looking at this on a spreadsheet, I am not reversing course. I'm going to continue to let Ben Simmons dig his own proverbial grave, and I'll wait and see how the season plays out. And if another team wants to come closer to meeting my asking price, then and only then will I trade Ben Simmons. In the meantime, I will continue to happily collect fine money from Ben Simmons until he figures out that I have all the leverage here and that he's not going anywhere until I say he's going somewhere. And in the meantime, Doc Rivers, your job is to coach the guys that are there. You're right, Joel Embiid. Your job is not to babysit Ben Simmons. You guys do your job. I'll do my job. And less than until Ben Simmons is ready and willing to do his job, we'll just keep finding him and suspending him accordingly.
All right. Now, congratulations because you did so well there, even though you didn't want to do that. You're now Rich Paul. Congratulations.
Wow. I'm happy. I'm with Adele, so I'm
well, outside of
that. I was today years old when I found out that Rich Paul is with Adele. That's true, right?
Oh, yeah.
Very true.
Yeah, I mean.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. That breakup is going to make a hell of an album for her one day.
That dude is winning at life.
I know. So let me ask you this. Outside of trying to get Ben Simmons to the Lakers, what do you do now? What do you do if you're Rich Paul to handle this situation? How do you handle this?
I think you tell, like, look, Ben, listen, man, it's time for us to have a hard conversation. And it's time for you to know thyself. I believe that was Socrates. You have to know thyself. And you are not this guy. This is not you, Ben. And by this is not you, I don't mean it's beneath you to throw a temper tantrum. I mean, you're not that good. I love you. I know what you are, and I know what you aren't. And you're not James Harden, as in you can go and you know, disrupt practice or throw basketballs at people or this, that, and the other. You can go do that, and there's still a team ready, willing, and able to give up the farm to get you the way the Nets were to rescue James Harden from Houston last year. Part of the reason is that the Sixers aren't looking for draft picks in return. A trade is too complicated at this point. You're not Jimmy Butler, okay? You're not going to show up at practice and say, give me all the backups and beat the starters and prove just how valuable you are, okay? You are not helping yourself right now. The rest of the league knows that you're flawed, and now you're showing yourself to be fragile. So as your agent, I'm telling you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear, and what you need to do instead of showing out is to ball out. Put it behind you. Show up. Y'all ain't got to be friends. Y'all ain't got to be partners. Y'all ain't got to be brothers. But what y'all got to do is work together to rehabilitate your image. All those shots you were making and pick up in the summer, I need you to make some of those in the game. Because right now, your trade value is not increasing. You're doing nothing to get moved right now by getting thrown out of practice. The only way, yes, we're talking about practice. The only way you're going to be able to get traded is if you show up and play and be a professional. I know you don't like them, but that's the real. And you don't pay me to lie to you. You pay me to tell you the real.
Well done. Round of applause right there. And last role play for you, Michael Smith. Congratulations. You're now Kendall Jenner. No, I'm just joking. I'm sorry. No, but I just don't know how. I think the Maury's more real, right? Although you have to think Rich Paul has to be saying that to him, too. So I don't know what the way out of this is. He's truly, because if he shows up and practices normally, right, Thursday, they're going to dress him, right? They're going to dress him Friday night in Philadelphia. And because that's what they want. They want him to get a taste of the competition and a taste of, you know, whatever medicine might be had, and for him to then wake up the next day and realize the world is still spinning. And he's still Ben Simmons with an incredible upside with a monster 4-year contract that makes him generationally wealthy. And then they just get to the next news cycle without him getting kicked out of practice. And then suddenly they can start telling other GMs, yeah, well, forget about all that nightmare that we just went through. He won't do that to you. How about a full dollar on the dollar instead of cents? Like, right? Isn't that the best case scenario for everybody involved? Right there?
No, actually.
Okay.
No, actually, I think the best case scenario is the description that Doc Rivers has given the situation. At every turn this offseason, on your show and in press conferences all over the place, Doc has talked about how this happens all the time in sports. You know, there's disagreements, there's tension all the time, people move on and get past it, right? I think that's the best part involved because, again, absent the...
Michael, we're you're breaking up. I don't know if you're on some sort of, I don't know, put him on hold for a second. I've never had what sounds like a landline disintegrate quite like that. Mike, you wanna?
I mean, I'm thinking he was moving around.
Okay, you want to try it one more time?
Try him again.
You there, Michael? You know, his phone's kind of crapping out right there.
Oh, no.
I can't, as you know, I can't have this. And it's not that the phone goes down. It's just at the end of the conversation. You know how I am.
Yeah.
I'm like the Mariano Rivera of interviewing. I need closure. Maybe this is something we should ask Larry.
Yes.
Later on, like whose responsibility is it to call back?
It's a good one.
For closure on the phone, right?
Just try him again.
Mike, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, very good. Hey. You started. You said you were going through like Doc was saying and all of that stuff. That's and then we lost.
That was y'all's fault, dog. My phone ain't bootleg like that. That was something y'all.
All right, we'll take the hit. So
no, but first of all,
you were saying Doc.
Wait, but sidebar. No, yes. I'm just kidding. But sidebar.
Yeah.
Like I think I'm one of the last people to actually have a landline in my house. Like every time I say I have a landline, people are like, really?
But, by the way, you are not wrong, and not only that, your voice is excellent and it sounds great on the landline, and I appreciate landlines, and then all of a sudden when they go out it's a gut punch to me personally. At the end because I need closure. I literally would have called you back 15 times just to say goodbye. Like, that's the way I am.
I appreciate that.
Yes.
And I totally respect and I relate to that, because I can't tell you how many times stuff happens on our show and it just drops off and
boom.
It pisses me off.
It's
the rest
terrible.
Of the show, but I'll make my answer quick. The best case scenario,
yes,
is for, I think the Sixers are being sincere. No matter what they may have said after Game 7 or didn't say the entire offseason, I think the Sixers are being sincere that they know that they are a better team. They were the number one seed last year in the regular season. They are a better team with Ben Simmons, especially absent a dream trade that Daryl Morey thinks will make this team better, a la Bradley Beal or Damian Lillard, who's already on record as saying, I ain't leaving Philly, okay? So the Sixers are better if Ben Simmons shows up and plays. Ben Simmons needs to be careful what he wishes for, because I don't know who's telling him that the organization has held him back to this point, as reported in The Athletic, instead of vice versa. He needs to be careful what he wishes for, okay? Because if he ends up in NBA Siberia, then all those all-defensive team selections and all-star selections go out the window, okay? He benefits by being with Joel Embiid, contrary to what he may believe or is being told. Lastly, and listen, I'm not from Philly. I've been to Philly a few times. I love Philly, love their fan base, love their passion, love their knowledge. And they're going to root for the laundry. And Ben Simmons, as much as he may feel like he's been ostracized and can never return to Philadelphia, they may boo him the first couple of times. But it'll get old after a while. And those fans are sophisticated enough to realize that it doesn't help their team to make life difficult for one of their key players. And those fans will also follow Doc Rivers and Joel Embiid, who are all willing to move on. So if they move on, the fans will move on, and it won't be that bad for that long for Ben Simmons until playoff time if he clams up again. But in the meantime, it can work. It can be fine. So the best-case scenario for me, in my mind, for all parties involved, is to turn the page on last year and try to make this work. As I said ad nauseum, if Daryl Morey thinks so highly of Ben Simmons as to attach an astronomical price tag to him, then why are you trying to move him in the first place? You know? And for Ben Simmons, I don't think the grass is greener on the other side.
Basically, ask Marvin Bagley how he's liking Sacramento. It's basically what you
said.
Free
Marvin Bagley.
You know what I mean? Like, ask, get him on the phone with his agent and see,
exactly.
You know, like, thanks for the call. Really appreciate it. Great landline, brother. Seriously.
Now I gotta go see if I need a new cordless phone.
What am I talking to you about later? What do you want to? What should I plan for later on when I'm coming on your show?
Well,
you haven't had your rundown meeting yet. Is that what you're saying?
I mean, the rundown meeting is me. Okay. It's 12:41. We got a couple more hours. Definitely want to talk to you about this NFL season.
Sure.
You being the all things NFL guy that you are.
Sure.
We were talking about this yesterday.
Sure.
Whether or not, and give this some thought, or maybe you've already given it thought, knowing you, whether or not you believe that this season is off to the best start in recent memory, given all the overtime games,
yes.
Given all the games coming down to the final minute, especially
absolutely.
Prime time, blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
Look ahead to tomorrow night's game with you.
Okay. Sounds good.
You know, and maybe we'll keep talking about the NBA season. I got a little bone to pick as I let y'all go, though. I'll let y'all let me go more precisely.
Yes.
The rule is you're supposed to give finals predictions and MVP predictions like before the season starts. It's kind of cheating.
Not really. I mean, you know, it's not like somebody got off the Lakers just because they lost last night. Oh, wait a minute. Let me check my email. Yeah, I did that.
Yeah,
so.
Or like, how do you not have Giannis at the front of the MVP conversation? Like, remember all the Giannis fatigue? Like, oh yeah, he can't win another MVP. Like,
it's just something
like that.
No, there was so much going on yesterday. Blame Ben Simmons and his sweatpants that knocked our preview of the NBA out of
and
our
his
rundown
sweatpants?
Yesterday. Yeah. Did you see him
that
in his sweatpants?
Cell phone, was it?
He was Sham Sharani is coming on later on. We'll talk to him about it. We'll talk. So,
okay. Hey, and then, so bring that knowledge to the show later, because we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the Nets. Man, we just see where it goes. And then maybe we'll get some Michigan trolling in.
Wonderful. I look forward to that. I'll see you later with Michael Smith. Thanks for the call. You take care.
Appreciate y'all. Y'all be good.
Michael Smith, Michael Holly, brother from another. I'll be joining him later. We're going to be getting our phone calls on. We got phone calls to get to. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Our Gorilla Glue most toughest player on planet Earth award for the week is going to be handed out next hour. Shams Charania, who's had an entire article about Ben Simmons and what's going on at practices and what the next steps for the Sixers might be. He's joining us in hour number two. When we come back, we will drop a call like Laz Diaz. That's next on The Rich Eisen Show.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
Judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. Sideline Mike in Atlanta. Let's talk Braves and Dodgers with one of our favorites. How are you, Sideline Mike?
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
What's going on,
Mike? Good, Mike.
No, hey, like I said, after repeatedly punching Kentucky in the face last week and holding Mr. Rodriguez, who was leading the SEC in rushing, to seven measly yards on seven carries, I was fully prepared for my Mark Wallace, Jim Larrabee moment last night. I was laying in my bed with my lovely wife, and I said, baby, you don't get this pitch high enough, this is going to be in the right field seat. I didn't even get the sentence out my mouth, okay? And here, the ball goes sailing into the seat.
It was high, though.
Sideline Mike, we were just talking. We were just talking about how, you know, having the box, that rectangle, the strike zone rectangle on the screen is what sends a lot of us crazy, because, you know, you could see it's outside of the box and it's called a ball and you go crazy, or it's out right in the box and it's called a ball. We're going crazy if it's a strike. I mean, and that ball that was thrown to Bellinger was, I had to look, several inches above the strike zone. I mean, he just got up there and got it.
You saw Travis Darnold standing up, say, higher, man, higher. And it didn't get there. But at least we ain't got Angel Hernandez. At least we don't have that guy. Okay? Yeah. We don't have Angel out here.
He was only in another playoff series.
You know, but brother, all I'll tell you is this, man. When Bellinger hit the ball, I didn't even feel bad. I didn't even feel bad. I'm like, you know what? Our manager, Brian Snicker, always talks about how resilient this bunch is, how they can flush a game. And see, here in Atlanta, everybody now thinks the series is over. I'm like, you won two games at home. All you got to do is win one out here. The Braves are probably going to win today. But look here, brother, that's the plight of being an Atlanta fan. And that's why we drink so much brown water down here. You guys have a great rest of your
Sideline Mike, everybody.
Sideline Mike. Indeed. Brown water.
Who are the Braves going to start today? That's still undecided?
Yes.
They haven't announced it yet?
Still undecided.
It's Urias today. What if he's got dead arm? Chris Sale goes tonight.
I don't want to overreact, okay? But I'm going to. This is the most important start of Chris Sale's life.
How's that an overreaction?
Without question. Most important start of his entire – he's probably been playing baseball since he was 5 years old. This is the biggest start of his life.
You know what we say about game fives around here.
His whole legacy is on the line.
You know what we're talking
about. Throw 2018 out the window.
Rich.
Game five.
It's all on the line.
Game fives are either pivotal or decisive.
Yeah.
This is it.
Had the Red Sox held on last night, he'd have been in a decisive game five. Instead, it's now a pivotal game five. Game, you know, series pivots. That's why we call it pivotal. Either the Astros go home with a chance to wrap it up in front of their home folks, or the Red Sox go to Houston with a chance to go like Costanza right at those Houston people. You know?
This is it.
So there you have it.
Everything.
I know. And it's sales time.
And to back up Sideline Mike's point, yesterday, at this time yesterday, the Braves were the favorite to win the World Series, 2-1.
Right.
Today, Yes. 24 hours later,
yes.
The Dodgers are the favorite.
But they're not even up in the series.
Wait, what are we
doing? Doesn't matter.
What is happening?
What's going on?
Doesn't matter.
I don't understand your gambling world, sir.
Car flags. Car flags go up.
Justin in Atlanta, you're on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Justin?
Hey, Rich. How are you doing?
What's going on?
I have two things I want to cover. One is going to help our good friend Chris Brockman.
Okay.
And another may hurt our friend Chris Brockman.
Oh, no, no.
Okay.
I have an idea for fixing the Major League Baseball umpire debacle that has happened during this last series. Now, I don't know if you know Rob Manfred, but this is some advice that, you know, I would like to wet my beak on a little bit.
Okay.
Wet my beak on.
What do you got?
In football, because I played football, the new technology, they have like GPS chips that they can put in like your mouthpiece, the helmet,
yeah,
tracking,
to track, yeah,
shoulder pads.
Right.
You can do that for Major League Baseball. You can have chips placed in the home plate, and then you can have the umpires with a VR, like a shield, like a VR visor, that they can actually see in real time according to, you know, with the box that's on the side, they can actually see if it's in the strike zone.
So their VR, I'm sorry, I don't mean to just jump in here, but we're up against the end of our hour. So the VR would light up inside and would be red, and that tells the umpire to call strike?
It'll be like a see-through VR lens, very similar to when I think iPhone had a like glasses that you can actually see the internet, and you can do it in real time, but you can actually still see forward. They have the technology now where you can have a clear VR lens where you can actually see, mm-hmm. but they can program it to where it'll either light up green or red if the ball is not in the strike zone. All they have to do is put the GPS balls under the home plate,
oh, gosh.
And then you can take the guesswork out of it.
Thanks for the call. Or you could get more competent human beings behind home plate. I mean, there's that too. I mean, I understand the technology's there. Could you imagine an umpire? I've spent 40 years doing this thing. Joe West is gonna see that thing light up green, but he thinks it's a ball. He thinks it's a strike. And then we'll find out later. Well, his visor lit up red. Maybe that's why he's retiring, because he knows that the visors are coming. Oh, my gosh. Gorilla Glue, toughest player on planet Earth, from Purdue, David Bell, and Shams Charania on What's Up with Ben Simmons.